Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's do the random start. Random story just for the start here, because I saw another headline about this plastic bag ban being on the ballot. I think it's more than just plastic bags. I think they're trying to ban even more plastics in Bozeman. But I think it was a Yellowstone Public Radio headline. I can't remember what the headline was. But it was about this bag ban that's going to be on the ballot in Bozeman. Now, they had to do the whole sue and settle scam that the environmental wackos and their deep state operatives always do. Sue and settle, you know. Oh, you tied my hand behind my back. Okay, here's a bunch of taxpayer money. Okay, we'll give you everything you want. That's what they always do. Now, I don't think there's any money involved with this Bozeman bag ban, unless you're one of the nut jobs that's getting contributions to push this thing. But here's what I find very symbolic about the Bozeman bag ban, the plastic bag ban here, is that the very same liberal Democrats and their environmental wackos that are pushing this plastic ban in Bozeman are basically the same people that have voted for more inflation, increased grocery prices. I mean, you can't even afford everything in that plastic bag because of the policies of Joe Biden, John Tester, and Kamala Harris. But see, they're more concerned about what you're carrying your groceries in than they are about how much the actual groceries themselves cost. I think that's the point that I wanted to start with here, with a random start before we get into the really big stories of the day here, is that they care more about what you're carrying your groceries in, what kind of bag you got, than they do about the fact that a lot of people can't even afford the groceries that they want to buy for their families right now because of their massive federal government spending, and then they're giving your money to illegal aliens. Do you think they care if illegal aliens are carrying plastic bags across our southern border right now? You think they care if terrorists are marching across our southern border using plastic bags to bring in their devices? No, they don't care about that. They care about what kind of bag you're carrying your groceries in Bozeman. That's what they care about. These are unserious people that have got us in a very serious situation in this country right now. And that's what we're seeing with Kamala Harris. I mean, 30 how many days now, and she still hasn't taken any real questions from the media, hasn't done a press conference. I mean, for Pete's sake. But then again, that's been John Tester for 30 years. He's never really faced a tough question. So 30 days, let's put it in perspective, right? All right, big story that we're going to talk about today, and we got a great guest who's going to join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. This was a story I had the story ready to roll. I was just waiting to get some confirmation, because you got to do that whole get your facts first, make sure you confirm it. Don't just rush to report something. But I had the story ready to go before we wrapped up the show yesterday. And then, boom, right after the show, we had it confirmed. We had the story posted. This is a massive scandal for the Democrat dark money groups that are backing liberal Senator John Tester. Massive scandal. It's gotten a little bit of a national attention after we broke the story yesterday at MontanaTalks.com, but it should get more.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The Democratic convention is complete. Vice President Harris is now the Democrats' nominee, and President Biden is entering the last few months of his term. Yet late last year and early this year, there was only one major Democratic voice to speak out against President Biden, retiring Democratic Minnesota Congressman Dean Phillips. Phillips argued that the president's time had come and gone. He wanted Mr. Biden to step aside. He even challenged President Biden in the primary, finishing second with a paltry 4 delegates. Many Democrats excoriated Phillips for challenging the president, but now Phillips tells Fox he feels vindicated. He concedes his move cost him his career, friendships, and even standing in the party. But at the Democratic convention, Phillips said the following, quote, "I'm celebrating today because of the objective, of at least half of which has been achieved, which is replacing the top of the ticket. Come November, the risk I think will be achieved. And if that happens, it will all have been worthwhile. I would have done it 1,000 times over." Phillips says he was simply trying to be Paul Revere. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, high temperatures will range from the mid to upper 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. Chance for a shower towards morning in Bozeman with low temperature readings staying back around 44 in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. On Wednesday, we'll see a chance for isolated showers, otherwise clouds and some sun, low to mid-70s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so that big story that I was referring to, we'll talk about that more here later this morning. Montana athletes offered paid political endorsements. They can now do endorsement deals. You know, they can sponsor this company, get sponsored by that company, etc. But paid political endorsements. The real big scandal here, though, is that the dark money groups that are endorsing, that are backing liberal Senator John Tester, they tried to pay female athletes at the University of Montana to endorse John Tester in the election, and at least two of the female athletes refused, citing John Tester's vote to allow men into women's sports. Boy, I tell you what, Jim Brown in the house, a nice early morning guest for you here on the show, your candidate for state auditor. That is a massive scandal, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's an example of what you and I have seen with John Tester over time, is that John Tester has become the very candidate that he ran against supposedly in 2006, the first time when he ran for Senate, right? This is a guy that promised he would only serve two terms in the United States Senate, and he's going for, what, number four right now, and then he decried all the money and power in Washington, D.C., and he has become the number one recipient, as you know, of lobbyist cash in Washington, D.C. I mean, this guy is may be from Montana, but he's no longer a Montanan.
Yeah, total sellout, total phony. But you and I have known that since day one because, you know, we knew the guy, we knew the people he surrounded himself by, et cetera. Well, man, it's great to see you here in the early morning hours of the show. We got such a massive lineup. So I was like, man, come on early if you can, because we got Tulsi Gabbard joining us in about a half an hour. She just endorsed Donald Trump yesterday. So great to have her on the show today. But what's going on in your state auditor race? He's also the president of the Montana Public Service Commission as well. But man, what have you been talking about on the campaign trail?
Yeah, the number one thing for the auditor's race, and for those that may not know what the auditor does, it's actually the commissioner of insurance and securities. The auditor doesn't really audit anything. That's sort of a holdover from the 1889 Montana Constitution. But just like every other area of life, costs are going up in terms of families having to pay for more for insurance. I would say the number one thing that I've seen out on the campaign trail, outside of the concern for the total disregard for the rule of law that is shown on the national level by the current president and, you know, the president, vice president, is the just the disregard for the laws in the United States through, as we've seen through the open borders. But here in Montana, I would say what the concern is the rising cost for Montana families of living. And where that's being seen, of course, in the insurance area is rising cost of insurance. But the interesting thing, Aaron, is that, you know, everything's interconnected. And what's happening is we've seen poor management decisions coming out of Colorado and California in terms of their wildland management and lack of use of public lands for productive purposes. And so what we're seeing is huge wildfires in those states, and the cost of that is getting passed on to the Montana consumer wrongly.
Yeah, there's that, and then inflation, the Bidenomics, the failures of Bidenomics, the failures of Biden, Harris, and John Tester is driving up the price of everything. And when you drive up the price of everything, you drive up the price of insurance. This is what, I mean, there's a lot of people out there, they want to just think that their insurance agent is a jerk, that their restaurant owner is a jerk, that the grocery store folks are jerks. They want to think that all these people running all these businesses out here are just a bunch of big jerks that are charging you more for stuff. And it's like, no, it's the jerks in Washington that are spending your money, giving it to illegal aliens, giving it to all these other countries, spending it on drag queen story hours in Ecuador. And then they're raising the price of everything. And so all of these businesses then have to pass that cost on to the customer, on to the consumer. And but a lot of people just don't get it because they want to, you know, they'd rather bash the small business owner than bash the politician in Washington, D.C. that's responsible for it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You and I have talked about this on the air before. You and I both know that under the Biden-Harris administration, it is now, for an average Montana family, it is $11,400 more to live, the standard of living, than it was 3 years ago before Joe Biden was elected. And the reason that is not because your local small business is somehow gouging or, as Kamala Harris said, gauging you. It's because Washington can't stop spending, and the value of your money is becoming less and less over time. We have to change what's happening on the national level in order to help Montana's families prosper. It's just the reality of it. Now, there's not much I can do, of course, if as state auditor. That's why the national election is so important. The Trump election is to get a handle on this spending and what's going on. But there are things that we can do as Montanans to make sure that we maintain the quality of life that we have here, that you and I grew up with.
Yeah, speaking of the numbers, I need to, you just reminded me, I need to print up this flyer that we passed out over the weekend in Havering and Big Sandy, which lays out the numbers. I mean, basically, when you add up all the costs, housing, energy, groceries, everything, it's basically you're looking at $30,000. Montanans are spending $30,000 more to maintain their standard of living because of Bidenomics. And so that's how big it's getting. And so even though Montana is doing better than these other states because of Governor Gianforte's leadership and a Republican supermajority, we're still, you know, bearing the costs of what John Tester has been doing in Washington, D.C. to us. Jim, you want to stick around? Join us for a few more minutes?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
All right. Well, Jim used to work very closely with the wool growers, so he'll enjoy sticking around for the Farm and Ranch Report coming up here during this segment as well. And then we'll chat more with Jim Brown right after this. All right, here's another headline we've got on our Montana Talks website. Missoula responds to the governor's call for cell phone free schools. Basically, Missoula says, it's going to be too hard to enforce that whole no cell phone thing. These are the people that said, yeah, we're going to shut down school. No sports. Better wear those masks. But enforcing a no cell phone policy, it's just too hard for the Missoula public schools. Montana Talks.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Northland. Friday's cattle on-feed report was found to be somewhat bearish, with on-feed numbers fully steady and placements up 6% compared to 2023. Sharing more on the figures is USDA livestock analyst Shel Shagum.
On August 1st, the number of cattle on-feed in U.S. feedlots of 1,000 head or greater was just under 11.1 million head, which was only about 35,000 head above August 1st, 2023. During July, producers placed about 1.7 million head of cattle on feed, which was about 6% above year earlier. During July, feedlots marketed just under 1.9 million head, which was about 8% above a year earlier. But that large number also reflects the fact that there were two extra slaughter days during July. If we go ahead and we make the adjustment for those two additional days, markings were actually about 2% below a year ago.
And yesterday, it was pretty encouraging to see that both the feeder cattle and live cattle contracts traded higher despite that bearish nature of the cattle on feed report. DTN livestock analyst Shaylee Stewart also suggests that the biggest struggle that the cattle complex will continue to face with external pressures will be from the economy and the presidential election over the next few weeks. And neither one of these factors are going to go away overnight, but cattle buyers are keen to the fact that feed prices are still affordable. This is the Western Ag Network.
Attention all growers and ag retailers. Tired of losing the war against wild oats? It's time to bring in the big guns. Avidex and Fargo herbicides from Gowan USA. These Group 15 herbicides are your ticket to controlling Group 1 and Group 2 resistant wild oats and suppressing brome and ryegrass. Don't let these weeds invade your field. Take charge. Contact your local ag retailer today. Get your hands on Avidex and Fargo. Go. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan USA.
It's harvest time for Molson Coors barley growers. Hi, this is Spencer Ratliff from Fairfield, Montana. Farmers in Colorado, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming are counting another high-quality Moravian barley crop that will eventually become Coors Banquet and Coors Light beer for consumers to enjoy. Bill Coors once said, beer is made in the barley field, because if you don't get good barley, you can't make good beer. Molson Coors wishes for everyone to have a safe and bountiful harvest.
According to USDA's weekly crop progress report, spring wheat harvest across the nation is 51% complete as of Sunday. That's one percentage point above last year's midway point. The spring wheat conditions continued to see a 10% port of very poor rating, 21% fair, 56% good, and 13% excellent. As for the row crops, it looks like the corn was rated 65% in good to excellent condition nationwide, down 2 percentage points from 67% the previous week, while soybeans were rated 67% good to excellent, down 1% from last week. Corn in the dough stage was 84%, while corn dented 46%, and mature corn was rated at 11%, while soybeans were sitting at 89% in the pod stage and 6% were dropping leaves. Looking to event news, registration is now open for CattleCon 2025, which will be held in San Antonio, Texas, February 4th through the 6th. For more information, visit convention.ncba.org. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, James Brown and I, we were, you know, of course, listening to the Farm and Ranch report there, as you got to do and as you like to do. Then we were kind of BSing as well just during the break. I didn't get a chance. He's like, wait, what's this? Wait, tell me what's going on here. Oh, so we'll just do it live. We'll do it live over the air here. So our friend Jake Eaton says that there are some interesting developments going on within the judiciary here in Montana. And Travis, let's skip the Fox News update at the bottom of the hour, if you don't mind, if you're hearing me, because then we can just have some more time with Jim Brown here. So the Judicial Standards Commission, they don't really like to enforce anything, right, on their, you know, liberal wacko judges, et cetera. But so apparently they're proposing a whole bunch of revisions to the rules of the Judicial Standards Commission. Basically, they want to take all the teeth out of the Judicial Standards Commission because apparently, and I don't know everything about the Judicial Standards Commission, but what Jake Eaton says here, weird. After using the same rules since 2015, all of a sudden they want to change the JSC rules. I'm sure it's not related to the fact that as of January 2025, they lose the liberal majority on the commission when the new appointment process takes effect. So basically, the Democrats won't be in charge of the Judicial Standards Commission anymore. So they want to take away any teeth, any ability to actually enforce standards anymore because they don't want to be held to any standards at all, right?
Yeah, well, as you know, I ran for state Supreme Court in 2022, and two things that I talked about thematically during that race, which have carried on to this day and have been proved true more and more with all the events for the last 2 years. The two things I talked about, one is the state Supreme Court, in its ideology, does not represent the vast majority of Montanans. It is an extremely liberal court. Second thing I talked about, which is even more problematic, is that it is a court that has decided it is a legislative body and not a judicial body. And we have seen in the last 2 years decision after decision, which is a policy decision not a decision on the law. Those two problems remain. We have two great candidates for Montana Supreme Court, as you've stated on the air, the sons of Montana. Dan Wilson and Corey Swanson, and I encourage folks to take a look at those races because they are extremely important.
Yeah, and that's actually something we were thinking about talking about anyway, is the importance of these Montana Supreme Court races. Wilson, Judge Dan Wilson, yeah. Great candidate. He's going to be with us next hour for a few minutes, and then Corey Swanson, an Iraq War veteran, a multi-tour Iraq War veteran. Couple of great guys. Those are must-win seats.
But back to this... I'm tying it back into the Judicial Standards Commission. So what people may not realize is by virtue of holding a law license, I am subject, as are the two Wilsons, or the two sons of Montana, subject to judicial canons where, in theory, we could lose our law licenses if we cross the Montana Supreme Court. And ultimately, the Montana Supreme Court has jurisdiction over all attorneys. And so what this sounds like, I haven't read through what Jake provided here, but what this sounds like is that the Supreme Court is now unhappy that the Judicial Standards Commission will be more fair and do what it's supposed to do, which is be a fair arbiter of the standards, right? And so what the Supreme Court sounds like it's doing is trying to grab the power of the Judicial Standards Commission and putting it all into the hands of the Supreme Court so they become the final arbiter of judicial discipline in Montana. And the reason they're doing that, I suspect, is exactly what you talked about, is that this is one of the ways that they try to control conservative attorneys in Montana is through the use of judicial canons or the rules of ethics.
Well, and we've talked, you and I have talked about this before too. We've seen this in Montana, the weaponization of government. It's not just something the left does at the federal level. They've been doing it at the state level. They've abused the Commissioner of Political Practices office to intimidate, conservatives from running for the legislature, for example, and harassing them. They've all sorts of things, but this is how they weaponize government against lawyers. And this is their censorship operation as well. This is what RFK is speaking out. This is what Tulsi Gabbard's speaking out against, is this mass censorship operation and the weaponization of government. It is against American civil liberties. It's against the values that American conservatives hold. It's against the values that American liberals have typically held as well. That's why real people with actual principles like Tulsi Gabbard and RFK are speaking out against this stuff right now. But that's what they want to do. They want to weaponize the courts and weaponize the Montana Supreme Court to silence any lawyers in particular, so they can hold power over them.
Yeah, that's well said. I mean, one of the reasons that I'm wildly unpopular among the liberal set in Montana, Aaron, as you know, is for years in my law practice, I represented conservatives on First Amendment cases, the right to speak freely without government punishment or intervention. As a result of that, I represented many conservative groups before the Montana Commissioner of Political Practices, not the current one, who I think is very good, but the previous ones under the two Democratic governor administrations. And that office was, as you stated, weaponized against conservative candidates and conservative speech. The term lawfare is absolutely correct. We've seen it not only here in Montana, but on the national level, where I talked about this earlier, where you talk to average Montanans, there is just a concern that the fundamental rule of law is just being disregarded in this country, and the mechanisms of government, which are designed to protect the average citizen in the United States, that is the purpose of government, is to protect the rights of the citizen, is being used to trample the rights of the citizen. And we've seen it, starting to happen here. Well, I mean, since, Republicans have taken the vast majority of elected offices in Montana, that stopped a lot. But under the two terms of Schweitzer and Bullock, that was absolutely true. But we're still seeing it in the court system.
Yeah, that's right. Well, James Brown, candidate for the Montana Public Service Commission. Where are you off to next? We got about 30 seconds to go before the break.
Yeah, so candidate for auditor, I currently serve on the public.
Oh, that's right. Sorry about that. Yeah. President of the PSC. Yeah.
So I'm going to do a Western swing. I saw you a few weeks back as I was doing an Eastern swing. I'm going to be in Hamilton in their parade. I'm speaking in Missoula and Helena. And then I am actually hosting a fundraiser for myself. Down in my home country of Beaverhead County, we're going to put on an event at the Family Homestead in Polaris, Montana. Folks know where that is. We're going to open up the Polaris Bar, which is an institution in Montana. That'll be Friday at 5 o'clock. So if you're around the Polaris Bar, come see me.
Very cool. Well, and I'll see you in Livingston Thursday night. I'll be the MC for the Park County Lincoln Reagan dinner. So, and then live show from Livingston Friday morning. That's going to be at Yellowstone Sporting Goods. I haven't even told our listeners about that one yet. James Brown, great to see you.
Okay.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. A Type 1 firefighting team taking over work on the Sherratt Fire in the mountains west of Stevensville today, hoping to expand lines and get some control in the lightning-caused blaze that started Friday. Bitterroot National Forest spokeswoman Alex Stewart says aerial attack of the fire has been critical in keeping the blaze around 1,000 acres and out of nearby residential homes.
Had numerous helicopters doing bucket drops. Matter of fact, they dropped 52,000 gallons of water on the fire. And tankers have dropped 48,000 gallons of fire retardant.
Fire meteorologist Mark Leffenbein says the big concern today is going to be the gusty winds.
We will see those pick up to gusting 25 miles per hour throughout the afternoon. And then as that front comes in during the evening, probably going to be gusting to 35 miles per hour, very close to red flag conditions.
Red flag warnings are up for all of southwest Montana today, as far east as Bozeman and north to Helena, with forecasters warning of fire weather and gusty winds, low humidity, and hot temperatures that could lead to increased activity on existing fires and more new fire starts. After some morning fog today, there's no more moisture in the forecast for southeast Montana, and the crews from multiple jurisdictions battling the huge Remington fire, which by some estimates is close to 200,000 acres. Temperatures could cool somewhat along the Montana-Wyoming border in the Powder River Country Wednesday. But there's not much wind in the forecast, but more hot weather is expected for Labor Day weekend. Recent cooler temperatures will allow hoot owl fishing restrictions to be lifted Tuesday on some of the remaining area rivers. That includes sections of the Bitterroot River, the Clark Fork River, and Silver Bow Creek in west central Montana. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks imposed those regulations back in July to protect fish, especially as water temperatures went up this summer. This is the Montana State News Network.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I think that is Tulsi Gabbard calling in right now as we speak. Very cool live guest for you here in the 6 o'clock hour of this show. Let's see real quick. Who was it? Was it Casey and Bozeman? Hey, everything I read on the plastic bag ban in Bozeman is that it fell through. They didn't have enough signatures. They were a couple hundred short. Yeah, KC, that's right. They were. They did not get enough signatures to get that thing on the ballot. But
that's how the whole liberal judge thing works now. That's how your liberal city commission in Bozeman works. Yeah, they didn't get enough signatures to qualify for the ballot, but sue and settle. The Enviro Wackos sue the city, and then the city settles. And now they're going to force it on the ballot anyway. Again, they don't care about how much you're paying for groceries. They care about how you're carrying your groceries around and what kind of a bag you're carrying your groceries in. Yeah, that's the other crazy part of that story. Let's see. I had a listener in Columbus. We were talking about the Supreme Court elections here in Montana. They're having a meet and greet luncheon for Stillwater County citizens. Corey Swanson will be in Columbus Thursday, August 29th, 11:30 to 1. The Palladium Drought House or Draft House. I don't know. I'd probably pronounce that one wrong anyway. It's on Pike Avenue, you can RSVP for this event at CoreySwansonForJustice.com. CoreySwansonForJustice.com in order to attend that meet and greet for Corey Swanson, candidate for Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court. All right, looks like we're still awaiting that phone call from Tulsi Gabbard. Travis, if you don't mind, check our email conversation with her team. I believe she's supposed to call our studio number, but maybe just send them a quick email reminder while I yap with folks on the radio here. Tulsi Gabbard, though, yeah, yesterday, this was the first time she came out and endorsed President Donald J. Trump ever since Kamala Harris became the nominee. Oh, she called twice and couldn't hear you. Oh, tell her to call back, and I'll just take the phone call, I'll just take her live in here. So, yeah, we can work around that if we need to. But here's what she had to say at the National Guard Association of the U.S. alongside President Trump yesterday.
Nuclear war than we ever have been before. This is one of the main reasons why I'm committed to doing all that I can to send President Trump back to the White House where he can once again serve us as our commander in chief. Because I am confident that his first task will be to do the work to walk us back from the brink of war. We cannot be prosperous unless we are at peace. And we can't live free as long as we have a government that is retaliating against its...
All right, there you go. That was just part of it. Yeah. So Tulsi Gabbard basically talking about, look, we're on the brink of World War III, and Donald Trump is the candidate who's going to work. He'll be the commander-in-chief who will work to bring us back from the brink of World War III. That was part of her message there. Let me see if we got another one for you here. Let's see. Yeah, I thought I had a little extended audio clip of her with President Trump. But the latest on the campaign trail, President Trump, of course, honoring the fallen from Abbey Gate in Afghanistan yesterday. In addition to this big event at the National Guard Association of the United States, Travis, did you email them back to tell her to call back in, and I'll just try to cue her up from here in studio since we're short on time. If you can, just email them back. Tell them to call back. I'll pot her up in here if your microphone's not working in there. All right. Here's the latest on the campaign trail while we work to get Tulsi Gabbard on the phone lines here.
Tulsi Gabbard, she had the sharpest lines of attack against then-Senator Harris on the debate stages in 2020. She is now helping Donald Trump prepare for his debate with Harris behind the scenes, and she is officially joining his effort to beat her. The Harris campaign is showing their hand in terms of priorities, visiting just one battleground state this week, but for 2 days, Georgia. Trump has Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania ahead before the weekend. President Biden has been joking before he went on vacation that he will campaign for or against Harris, whatever she thinks would help. It seems that the calculation, at least for now, has been made that he should just stay out of it.
All right, he should just stay out of it. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, he's still on vacation. He is still on vacation. He was on vacation pretty much all of last week. Now he's back on vacation all of this week. Didn't even show up. Not only did Joe Biden refuse to show up, for the Abbey Gate anniversary and to honor the fallen at Arlington Cemetery. I sent a little letter. Kamala Harris refused to show up as well. Simply sent a little letter.
On the third anniversary of the botched U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan, former President Trump spending much of the day honoring the 13 U.S. service members who were killed. The former president placed a wreath of white flowers to honor their sacrifice at Arlington National Cemetery Monday morning. Trump then traveled to Battleground, Michigan, where he spoke at the National Guard Association's General Conference, an exhibition in Detroit, promising to fire the officials involved in the evacuation.
All right. We do now have Tulsi Gabbard on the phone lines right now. Tulsi Gabbard, great to have you on this show. Sorry for the technical difficulties there for a second, but what's your message to Montana? We'll just jump right into it since we're short on time.
Thank you so much. It's great to join you this morning. We have a very clear choice in your U.S. Senate race, just as we do in the race for president. It really is a choice between a person who stands for freedom, peace, and prosperity for all Americans versus a person who stands for more government control, less freedom, censorship, and more war. That's really what it comes down to. And the choice in the national race is between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, and the same choice is there between Tim Sheehy and John Tester. I endorsed Donald Trump yesterday in a speech before the National Guard Association with soldiers and airmen from every state and territory across the country there in the audience, specifically because I know the same thing to be true that Tim Sheehy knows, is we know the cost of war, as you do. We have seen the consequences of politicians who put their own self-serving interests and their own power or attempts to look tough ahead of the interests of the American people, our national security, and peace. For anyone who is undecided at this point, it's important to recognize that in this election specifically, the choice is not about, are you a Democrat or a Republican, or do you like this person or like that person? There's far much more at stake here. This is a choice between freedom and peace, or living in an increasingly tyrannical society and at war.
We are on the brink of World War III. We've seen mass weaponization of government, a mass censorship operation across the country, Zuckerberg admitting to his role in that with Facebook. So this isn't just about right and left anymore. This is really about basic core common American values that are under attack right now.
That's right. And when you look at what happened at the Democratic Convention, which, by the way, John Tester avoided because even he sees how radical and insane the Democrat Party has become. But John Tester is guilty of the same thing as Kamala Harris. In speech after speech, including Kamala's speech, she says she is for freedom while she is using companies like Facebook and other means, including the national security state, to censor people. She talks about secure borders while she lets millions of illegal immigrants stream across our borders. She talks about defending democracy when she tried in every single possible way to undermine democracy and the rule of law to try to keep President Trump off the ballot. John Tester is guilty of the same thing. They say one thing and they tell us lies to our face, but their actions tell the exact opposite story. And that's going to be the most important thing for us as voters to look at as we head into this election. Early voting starts very soon in many states across the country. Look at actions and record, not the lies that these politicians, these fake politicians, try to sell us.
We've got to take, unfortunately, a hard break here in less than a minute. If you can join us till the end of the hour and you want to stick around through the break, we'd love it. But understand if you got to run as well. I know you are. You're going to be joining President Trump at a rally, I believe it is, in Wisconsin later today. What's crazy to me, and I know we only got 30 seconds here, John Tester has never even said thanks for your service to Tim Sheehy and his wife, who both served. I've had Democrats that I disagree with, and I can still thank them for their service and honor their service. What's the deal there?
That says a lot about who John Tester is and what he values. I fully support Tim Sheehy in this race and encourage Americans who love our country and peace and freedom to vote for Tim Sheehy.
Tulsi Gabbard, former Democrat presidential candidate, former Democrat member of Congress, endorsing Tim Sheehy, endorsing President Trump. Such an honor to have you back on the program here, especially after you got to visit Montana as well. We got to take a quick break. Hopefully she can join us, but if not, we understand.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I don't think the country yet fully understands the radicalism that is Kamala Harris. It looks like, you know, we're hearing rumors, I don't know for sure, that Kamala is now trying to put more demands on the one debate she's agreed to. It sounds like she's not only dodging, ducking any type of press conference, any type of interview, although they swear they're going to have an interview by the end of the week. They're going to do Rachel Maddow into friendly territory where she's not going to have to answer any questions about her radicalism. You got to be kidding me. I mean, that would not be a real interview. In any way, shape, manner, or form. She needs to be asked about every extreme radical statement that she's ever made.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, do you have big plans for Labor Day weekend? Well, let Blinds.com handle the heavy lifting. Now, Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale is almost here, but you can save right now on their best-selling window treatments during their spectacular Labor Day Early Access Sale. Now, Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments 100% online, and that means you're saying yes to upfront pricing. Now, Blinds.com has award-winning design experts. They'll offer free virtual consultations on your schedule. They can send your free samples right to your door, fast and free. Do the measuring and installation yourself, or frankly, let Blinds.com handle it all. They install unlimited window treatments for one low cost. Now, don't miss Blinds.com's Labor Day Early Access Sale. It's happening right now. Save up to 45% for a limited time. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Their Labor Day Early Access Sale going on right now. Rules and restrictions may apply.
789 or BigLou.com.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, we had a little microphone issue there in Travis's studio. So when folks were calling into the studio, they weren't able to hear him. But thankfully, we were able to sneak Tulsi Gabbard on. And even though we only had a quick few minutes there with her before that break, boy, she really nailed it and delivered a great message there. So thanks to Tulsi Gabbard for joining us. So great, really, to have her on the show the day after the big Trump endorsement and her speech at the National Guard Association of the United States yesterday. So thanks to Tulsi and her team. We got a great lineup for you. You know, the good thing is even if we can't figure out what's going on with Travis's microphone this morning, the good thing is today's one of those days where we actually have a very packed lineup here. We've got Judge Dan Wilson dropping by later on in the 7 o'clock hour of this show. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, will be joining us, and much more. Let's see. I think we're also sneaking in. Who else are we? I think Troy Downing might be dropping by, the Eastern Congressional District Republican candidate. I think he'll be dropping by sometime in the 7 o'clock hour as well. So we'll have a very full lineup for you. And heck, if all else fails, I know we're gonna check in with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus. I definitely want to get his take on RFK Jr. endorsing Trump, because you guys might remember, but we've talked a lot with Brian about RFK. He's been working closely with RFK and his former running mate Nicole Shanahan, talking about beef and everything that RFK talked about last week is what Brian Massard's been talking about when it comes to agriculture. So that's going to be some interesting stuff coming up. But if all else fails, when he calls into the show, I can just pot him up in here and just take the phone right in here, and then that'll work. But yeah, we'll make sure it's up and running though, because we'll want to sneak in your phone calls throughout the morning, especially when the Joker joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Folks always enjoy mixing it up with John on the phone lines. All right, the big story of the day that I almost had ready to roll for you during the show yesterday, but we just had to confirm some things, and you know, make sure we had all of our facts right. And then I posted the story on our Montana Talks website. So, yeah, Democrat Senator John Tester voted to allow men in women's sports. And now a group, a dark money group, supporting Tester is trying to pay female athletes in Montana to endorse him. This is a huge story, and it's a story that we broke, but it was a story written and gathered by a student athlete and a student journalist at the University of Montana. So Lily Mesgers is a junior majoring in journalism at the University of Montana in Missoula. She's also a Division I athlete and competes on the University of Montana's track team. In fact, you can see a great photo of her on our Montana Talks website right now with this story. So she is a D1 athlete who said, wow, this is a big story. And she was right. So she went out and got the story and reported the story and shared it with us to break the news with you on our Montana Talks website. This is great to see a journalism student doing what journalists should be doing, right? Now, I don't know if all these other so-called journalists in Montana have decided to cover this story yet or not, because it is a massive story. But good job by this journalism student and D1 athlete. But yeah, she not only did she say, wait a minute, the guy who voted to allow men into girls' sports is now trying to pay us to endorse him? Well, technically it's a third-party group, but you get the point. Anyway, obviously it's a big story, but she also quoted another female athlete at the University of Montana. Katie Whitehurst, a senior track athlete at UM, said, quote, I stand by biological women competing fairly in women's sports, and the offer seemed guided towards only one political party. So she described it as an odd request by Tester's dark money group to try to pay female athletes to endorse his campaign after he voted against them.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Donald Trump, who's back on Twitter, is threatening to pull out of the September 10th ABC debate against Kamala Harris. Here's what he tweeted. I watched ABC fake news on Sunday morning and lightweight host Jonathan Carl's ridiculous and biased interview of Tom Cotton and their so-called panel of Trump haters. And I asked, why would I do the debate against Kamala Harris on that network? Now, the Harris campaign says, well, he's just trying to get out of it. He says it's Harris who doesn't really want a debate. And in fairness, this was negotiated with Joe Biden, who wanted that rule about muting the microphones when it wasn't your turn to speak to avoid an interrupt-a-thon. Harris campaign now says the mic should be live, thinking maybe he'll beat up on her, people will resent it, or he'll have trouble looking presidential. I think the debate will come off, but Trump is renegotiating. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.